In the name of God, who gives life to the dead, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I felt like I had been lied to. Like there was a promise that had been made to me that was failing over and over again. I was cold and alone, and I desperately needed what was promised to me to come true. And yet, when I looked to that promise to deliver, it just never did. Over and over, I looked to the promise, and over, it failed. Soon, I reached the point of disdain for that promise as I began to resent it because it just could not deliver what it had promised to me. What was the promise I so dramatically introduced? Maybe you think it was something deeply personal or highly theological, but this was the promise: 5 hours of heat. See, I was off to the woods for the opening of deer season, and before I left, I ran across in the closet a bag of hand and toe warmers. And the promise on those hand and toe warmers were 5 hours of heat. Some even more, some even 8 to 10 hours of heat. And so as I sat out in the stand cold and alone, desperately needing what was promised by those hand and foot warmers, I began to resent them. So over and over, the promise failed. It seemed so simple. They just say, open, place, wait up to 30 minutes, and enjoy. But package after package, I unsealed them, I placed, I waited 30 minutes, but they never delivered. So I became disdainful of the promise as each time they failed again and again. The second to last package that I used, I kind of chuckled to myself as I put them in my boots because I knew that there was no way they were going to give me a single second of heat. I had grown so distrusting of the promise that I never even bothered to try the last package. I've still got them right here. Finally, I got to the root of the problem, because you see, apparently hand warmers, they have an expiration date. And this one says 2012. So apparently 8 years after the date, the promise on these hand warmers is expired. And these little packages are as good as dead. But my disdain for them was alive and well, as my feet were cold. So what's the point, Pastor? Enough about your hunting stories. All of this, the frustration of my hand warmers that failed to deliver on the promise, put together with the waiting and the watching and expecting of a deer that never was, all of that combined together into a frustrating trip that left me demoralized and unfulfilled. That's the trouble with unfulfilled expectations. They can leave us cynical and turn the heart sour. So as I sat out there, cold, I mulled over the story of Abraham and Sarah in preparation for today. Finally, it hit me. Abraham and Sarah were expecting for 25 years. I grew disdainful and resentful of these hand warmers that didn't work after 30 minutes. Imagine expecting for 25 years. Now, not that Sarah was actually pregnant for that whole 25 years, and as hard as it is to be pregnant, as my wife so lovingly reminds me, maybe being pregnant for that entire time would have been easier than to not and to seemingly be going through that 25 years empty-handed. waiting, hoping, longing, expecting the promise to come true, but it just never seemed like it was going to happen. Never seemed like God was going to deliver in spite of all the times that he had come and repeated that promise. At least that's the way it would have felt to Abraham and Sarah waiting 25 years. So it's helpful to get the timeline of this whole story in your heads. So first, God comes to Abraham when he is at age 75, while he's living in his father's household in the land of Haran, and he tells him, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the first promise that Abraham gets. This is the first indication that he is going to have an offspring that will bless the whole world. And Abraham believed God, and they waited. But some time passes, and they're starting to wonder, well, where is this child? So God comes to Abraham once again to reassure him and to repeat the promise. "A son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to them, "So shall your offspring be." And Abraham believed the Lord. That word that's used for him believing the Lord is the word from which we get our word, amen. Abraham trusted that what God said would come true. And so they watched and they waited and they expected. And it was 10 more years since the time that they left their homeland behind, since the time they went to the promised land. How easy it would have been as they were waiting, expecting, for their hearts to grow cynical and sour. So along the way, they try an experiment. As they're waiting and wondering, Sarah takes her maidservant, Hagar, and gives her to Abraham in order to conceive a child. And their experiment does work. Abraham does father a child, but this was not going to be the way that God would bring the promised child into the world. Going outside of God's design for marriage was not how the child was going to come into the world. But the experiment did prove one thing along the way. At age 86, Abraham was still able to conceive a child. So what does God do with the promise? 13 more years after that, and still nothing. Still, they have not had a son. Think about the most personal and emotional thing that you could possibly be waiting for God to fulfill. This is what Abraham and Sarah were waiting for. For God to fulfill. And after 24 years, how it would have seemed like that promise had simply expired. Like the promise made to them was as good as dead. Just like Abraham and his body and Sarah and her womb. But here comes God once again to repeat his promise. This time even changing their names so that they would remember. "No longer will you be called Abram," which means exalted father. "Your name will be Abraham," meaning father of many. "For I have made you a father of many nations. And as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her name Sarai. Her name will be Sarah," which means princess. "I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." And Abraham's response at God's renewed promise, Abraham fell face down. He laughed to himself and said, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old, and will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? So this was the good kind of laughter, the laughter that comes from inexpressible joy when you hear good news. Abraham continued to believe the promise of God and continued to wait in expectation. So God told Abraham and Sarah that the name of the child would be Isaac, which means he laughs after Abraham's response to God's promise. But that name Isaac, he laughs, would also come to have some irony along with it, because there's also a different kind of laughter that's a part of this story. See, God comes to repeat this promise once more to Abraham and Sarah. So 3 visitors show up to the tent unannounced for lunch, and one of those visitors is actually the Lord himself with 2 angels. And the Lord again repeats the promise, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now, Sarah wasn't actually there with Abraham and the 3 men. She had been behind in the tent, eavesdropping on the conversation. When she heard, she laughed, and not the good kind of laughter. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out, my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Now, it's nearly the same content of what Abraham responded with, of the question that he asked, but the Lord knew that Sarah's response wasn't the good kind of laughter. This was the cynical, sarcastic laughter of doubt, because at this moment she was not trusting that God would continue to be faithful to his promise. This moment she had grown so distrusting that she no longer believed that God was going to do what he said. At this point, the promise had become a joke, and the Lord rebukes her for it. So in this story, we've got 2 kinds of laughter: the laughter of joy at the promise renewed, and the laughter of doubt and cynicism. And as Abraham and Sarah stand on one end of the timeline of salvation, waiting for the first promise of the child to come true, we also stand at the other end of the timeline of salvation, waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, to come back. Yet all the way across that span of time, that laughter of doubt and cynicism has been contagious as it fills the dark corners of our hearts as well. As we think about the promises that God has made to us as we wait for him to return, sometimes we see how we've grown cynical, how we've grown to distrust those promises. God is going to work all things, even the pandemic of 2020, for our good? Yeah, right. He might as well be up there sleeping. God is going to come back and take us to be with him. Are you kidding me? We haven't been waiting on that promise for just 25 years, but 2,000 years. So the cynicism within our heart grows. It's in those dark corners we begin to disbelieve the promises that God has made to us. That's no laughing matter at all. That's the echoes of unbelief that threaten to overtake us. That's the echoes of our sinful nature, all the way back from the time when Adam and Eve did not believe God's word to them in the garden. And that sinful nature certainly would overtake us if God was not faithful to his promise. But he is faithful to his promise, in a son he promised, in a son he gave. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time that God had promised him. God promised, God delivered, and Sarah delivered the son that God had promised all along. It was as simple as that. God promised, God delivered, and Sarah delivered. And it's only a matter of doubt in our minds when it seems like God is taking his sweet time. And it's at that moment when the scriptures remind us, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Now here may be some insight into why God would have continued to make them wait 25 years. See, the one thing that Abraham had proved was that at age 86, he was still able to conceive that child, Ishmael. Now 13 more years of waiting would safely prove to everyone that both Sarah and Abram were as good as dead as far as childbearing was concerned. And so this child would come about by a miracle of God's power and faithfulness. And that's precisely the point. Abraham is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. There was no chance of them humanly conceiving a child, but God raised Sarah's womb from the dead, and he gave life to the dead in the same way that he raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And so it is with the same faith that Abraham had that we trust in the promise of the resurrection of Jesus. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Those words were not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed that God would be faithful to his promise and that he would deliver a son. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And the Bible tells us that Sarah as well had her faith in the promise renewed. As the Heroes of Faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, tells us, by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So the Lord turned the scornful laughter of doubt into the laughter of joy. And when the baby boy came, they named him Isaac, which means laughter. So Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. Everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age? God promised, God delivered, and that is the expectation of our faith that will never go unanswered or unfulfilled. Every promise he has made us is yes in Christ Jesus. So as we think of every promise that we have, the resurrection of the dead, we have it from the God who gives life to the dead, just as he gave it to the womb of Sarah. We have the God who will come back for us, just as he promised. We have the God who came to this earth, and we long to celebrate his coming once again at Christmas. We have forgiveness in the faithful promises of our God. And so we speak that same word, amen. Yes, Lord, we believe that you will come and do what you have promised. Come, Lord. Quickly take your people home. Amen. Please stand. Now let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for God who promised is faithful. Amen.